There is a little brief outline in the new sheet there if you want to look at it. We're continuing our series today on God's creation, A Call to Care, and we're thinking about very famous brothers, Cain and Abel, today. Let me just pray as we get into this passage. Dear Lord, we pray that you might help us to learn the lessons from Cain and Abel as they might apply in our life today. Help us to realise our responsibilities to care for our brothers and our sisters and our neighbours and even our enemies you call us to love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sibling rivalry. Have you ever been jealous of your brother or your sister? And it could be your brother and sister who you grew up with, or it could be your brother and sister at church. Have you ever been jealous? Have you ever wanted what your brother had? Have you ever wanted to be your brother or your sister? You just think their life seems better than yours. I was talking to a few people about this when we studied this in Bible study, and it's a very common thing. Sibling rivalry is a thing. One family at church told me they had to buy a people mover. Not that they had that many children. They just needed seats that were far enough apart that the children couldn't hit each other while they were travelling along in the car. Is that the young family? It might have been you who told me the story. But it's a common thing. Just want something where they're an arm's distance away from each other in the car. I remember vividly one Easter Sunday morning waking up in our house when I was a child, and I shared a room with my brother, and there were two Easter eggs. They were sort of sitting in mugs. There was a mug and an Easter egg, and one was a sort of dull brown colour and one was a lively blue colour. Fortunately, my brother hadn't woken up yet, so I just moved them so that the blue one was next to my bed. My mother came in later and said, "I notice you have the blue one." I said, "Yes, that's the way the Easter bunny left them, you know." Who was I to argue with the Easter bunny? Last week you looked into Genesis 3 at original sin, Adam and Eve, and their desire to be the ones who decided what was good and evil. And we saw how their sin led to consequences, cover-up, shame, fear, hiding, blaming, and the curse. And they were thrown out of the garden and prevented from re-entering where the tree of life was, which was both judgment and also mercy. To be prevented from reaching the tree of life in your fallen state is actually mercy. The tree of life is not in this world anymore, it's in heaven. When you next time you get a chance to reach for the tree of life, you will be perfect and will live forever. And that is a mercy for us. But this week we're going to look at Adam and Eve having children, two sons, Cain and Abel. And will sin affect them too? Will they be worse or better than Adam and Eve? And what can we learn from this classic tale of sibling rivalry? Well, Cain and Abel, we see, are both religious. They both want to please God, or at least they do on the outside, and they bring an offering to God. Cain grew crops, and he brings some of his crops. Abel had livestock, and the Lord looked in on favour on Abel's sacrifice, but not on Cain's. Now, don't conclude from this that God is a meat guy, and this is bad news for vegans, okay? That's not what this passage is about. No, in fact, we're told in the book of Hebrews, by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man. God wasn't as worried about whether it was an offering of meat or cereals. The thing was, what was happening in his heart? Was it an offering coming from faith, or was it purely an outside thing? And that's exactly what was going on here. So, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he is commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. So Abel's offering springs from a heart of faith. His thankfulness to God began on the inside and showed itself on the outside. Our religious acts must always start inside, mustn't they? Out of a heart of thankfulness to God for what he has done for us. And because Abel got it right, Cain hated him for it because it exposed his own half-heartedness. And Cain resented his brother. Have you ever resented your Christian brother or sister? And it's led to comparisons, jealousy, anger, tantrums, sulking. By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead, we read in this passage. Have you ever been jealous of somebody? Might not be a direct brother or sister. It could be a work colleague. Could be a neighbour. Could be someone you imagine has a better life than you. And you're thinking, why were they chosen? What about me? I wish I could be like them. Don't they know I could do that well as well? Better? Why didn't they pick me? What is Abel saying to us today? Whatever we do as Christian people, our attitude on the inside matters a lot, doesn't it? Our attitude on the inside matters a lot. Is it by faith? Is our heart right? Or are we tempted to make comparisons? And there's a message for us all today. Stop looking sideways. Stop looking sideways. The most important relationship is between you and God. Don't keep looking sideways for your comparisons to your brothers and sisters. The next bit of the story has an interesting thing where it says, sin is crouching at your door. Cain is jealous, Cain is angry, and Cain is in a bad place, a place of temptation. And God, in his kindness, warns Cain. Look at verse 6. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you don't do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must rule over it." Sin is crouching at your door. When things don't go the way we've hoped, it's easy to be disappointed and to be angry. But the question is, what happens next? What happens next? We have a choice. And God warns us we have a choice here. Sin is crouching at your door. Cain is angry, but what will he do with that emotion? Will he learn self-control and keep the door shut? Learn from his disappointment. Learn from Cain's example and, with God's help, get his heart right and proceed to act in the future out of thankfulness and faith. Well, actually, that's not what he does, does he? He opens the door. He opens the door and he allows his jealousy and anger to go further into sin, and he actually takes his brother out into the field and murders his brother. I mean, what a tragedy. These are the first two children born to our Adam and Eve, our ancestors. The first two sons, what do? One murders the other. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Do you know the first European structure that was built on Australian land? A gallows. Yeah, you know your history. Western Australia, mutineers. One of the Dutch voyagers took over the boat, and then another boat was dispatched in the fullness of time. And the very first European structure on Australian land was a gallows was built, and the mutineers were hung. Cain and Abel repeats, the sin of Cain and Abel repeats, doesn't it? And each of us has a similar fight on our hands. If we read in the book of James, it says, each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Sin is crouching at our door too. What will we do? Will we keep the door shut or will we open the door? Will we open the door? James chapter 1 tells us there's a process in temptation. Evil desires give birth to something, to sin. And then sin, when it's fully grown, leads to death. This is an area where we need God's help, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, and self-control. There's been a lot of focus in the media in the last couple of weeks about domestic violence, hasn't there? Terrible situations that have come about. And sadly, I think as a culture, we actually are really unsure what message to send to men anymore. So every community group, and Anglicare is no different, have programs now saying, say no to domestic violence. And I think we've all got that message. My question is, what do we say yes to? We say no to domestic violence. What do we say yes to? We say yes to self-control. Yes to the fruits of the Spirit. Yes to a kind of manhood that learns with God's help to actually show the strength of keeping that door closed. Sin is crouching at your door. Keep that door closed. Learn to react in a different way. With God's help, learn to show self-control. Then in verse 9, we have this remarkable question that God asks Cain. As we saw last week with Adam and Eve's original sin, after every sin comes an attempt at a cover-up, doesn't it? And covering up never works with God, isn't it? It's a bad fig leaf that you never pull it off, do you? Okay? Imagine trying to hide from God as if that's ever going to work. Hiding things from God is always a mug's game, but Cain gives it a try, doesn't he? And verse 9, we read, then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. It's a little bit mean, like me saying, the Easter Bunny moved the mugs. Yeah, it's nothing to do with me. Where is your brother? I don't know, he says. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, our series in Genesis is exactly the kind of thing we're talking about here, isn't we? God's creation, a call to care, a call to care for your brother and your sister. At Maroubra, there's a group of surfers called the Bra Boys. And they all have a tattoo around their neck saying, I am my brother's keeper. If you haven't read Meredith Lake's book, The Bible in Australia, yet, I think I've mentioned that to you before, you must read it. It starts with a foreword on this very incident, and it says the Bible has gotten under our skin in Australia. And she literally refers to this. Those are Bible verses, or at least a changed Bible verse, isn't it? It's the answer to the question, am I my brother's keeper? I am my brother's keeper. So at the end of the service today, Rosemary's going to have a tattoo gun up at morning tea. She works as a practice nurse, as a GP. She'll be able to do it in a hygienic way. And people can all get a tattoo similar to this one saying, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. Because if you're a Christian person, that's you. Now, for these guys, their love extends as far as the gang, doesn't it? You know, if you're a bra boy, I'm your keeper. It probably doesn't extend to anyone else who wants to have a surf at Maroubra, okay? But as Christian people, we are our brother's keeper, and that starts first and foremost with your brothers and sisters here at Abbotsford, doesn't it? But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. When Margaret visits at Concord Hospital, her brothers and sisters include strangers in the wards that she doesn't know. When someone helps with the playgroup here, being loving to your neighbour includes young families that might have enrolled their kids at the preschool here. It means the people you work with. It means your relatives, even the ones you don't particularly like. It means even the people who think badly of you. Jesus said, in the new covenant, we even have to love our enemies. People who say harsh things about Christians in our community today, you are to extend love to them as well. David Cook, who was the principal of SMBC College, not far from here, at Croydon, that's right, isn't it? I always get Concord and Croydon mixed up. Croydon. They had a number of neighbours around the area, some of whom were very grumpy about the college because, you know, there were young people there and they were making noise and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And each Christmas, David's wife would send him out with gifts for the neighbours. And they would take around a small little hamper for all the neighbours, including the ones who'd, one or two, who'd made their life a misery most of the year, okay? And David said, my wife would give me the gifts and then say, off you go. And David said it was my least favourite day of the year to take gifts, Christmas gifts, to some of the neighbours who'd spent a good deal of the year complaining and writing to the council and ringing the local member and saying how this Christian institution was a terrible blight on the inner west and one thing and another. And off he'd go to give gifts to the neighbours before Christmas. Isn't that lovely? That's very, very good. The book of 1 John picks up this story and says to us, this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. We are to live differently, aren't we? Cain is a very sad figure from history. The sins of Adam and Eve are repeated by Cain, and sin spreads to even include murder. The shedding of blood of a fellow human being, a fellow image bearer, is a very serious crime, isn't it? Sadly, as part of my responsibilities, I've met people, including even teenagers in jail, who are there for murder. It's a terrible, terrible crime to take the life of another person. And quite rightly, they are excluded from the community for that. But God passes judgment on Cain, that is sure, but God also shows grace to Cain in the end of this story, which is significant, isn't it? Let's look at to where to for Cain. So even though God's judgment falls on Cain, we see there are signs of grace in this story. Likewise, even for people I've met in jail who are murderers, there are signs of grace for them too. There are signs of grace for them too. Cain complains to the Lord, if you look there in verse 15. His complaint starts in verse 13. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. God says to him previously, you won't really ever be at rest, Cain. You'll never be completely at home, but you'll be a restless wanderer upon the earth. And Cain says, "This is too much for me. This is too much for me, Lord." And he said, "My punishment is too much for me to bear. I've been driven from the land, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "No, not so, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over." The Lord places a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. I have no idea what the mark was. I know it was one of Rosemary's tattoos or something like that. But he had a mark upon him, and it was a mark that preserved him in some kind of way, that he was actually protected by God. Cain marries and has a family, and the family grows, and they're engaged, we read later in the chapter, in building, livestock, music, and even metalwork. And this is a sign of God's grace as well. The fulfillment of his promise of Genesis 1 and 2, that they would rule the earth and steward the resources. But not all Cain's offsprings are good, and Trevor will continue that story next week as we look at the rest of the chapter. But despite God's grace to Cain, Cain's family would not ultimately be the one who fulfills God's promise to all mankind. Do you remember God's promise back in Genesis 3? He said to Eve, "Someone born of woman will crush the serpent's head." Remember that? 3:15. And somebody, one of their ancestors, will be the one who finally crushes the serpent's head. And we know, of course, ultimately that's Jesus. But Cain, his family, is not the one who's going to bring forth the crusher. Adam and Eve, much later on, have another son called Seth. And verse 25 says, "God granted another child in the place of Abel, since Cain killed him." And Seth is the sign of God's grace, and the promise of a rescuer will go on, and Trevor will cover more of that next week. So as we finish today, are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? Does your love, strengthened by Jesus, extend just to your gang, your best friends? Or does it spread even broader to include others who are outside of the church or hard to love or even oppose you? That's the question for us this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us in the Lord Jesus, and we pray that you will strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to be people who show self-control and show love under pressure with your help. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.